to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Thursday, February 9th. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Whole bunch of producers are here.
Got the whole gaggle.
What are they, geese?
The owl is back.
I mean, it's a bird.
I guess.
Good to be back.
What's a group of owls?
I am on it.
Thank you.
A group of owls? They're not all owls.
No, I know. Okay. I know.
But you're just curious?
This is a good one.
A hoot?
No. It sure is a hoot, but they call it a parliament.
A parliament of owls?
That's right.
Oh, it's a parliament.
And now we're back to the barristers
again. Yeah,
get
the barristers on the owls, and all right.
Well, we have a tight end truth episode rounding out the truth episodes. Now, we don't have the truth about kickers, right? Because that's going to be summed up very...
That is...
Next week. Yeah, next week we're going to talk about the truth is that kickers
should not
be in fantasy football.
Yep.
So that's it? We're done?
I just did the episode right there. The truth is fantasy football should not have kickers.
The judge is here, the Borgogan. We got a full crew getting ready for the Super Bowl, which is Sunday. We're still working on how we're going to get down to the stadium.
I'm already on my way.
But I think we're going to be all right. I think we figured some things out.
Yep.
I think the drone thing's going to work.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting there around 3-4 a.m. Just to beat traffic.
How long would it take to walk from here? I mean, I don't know if this is like security issue by giving this information away, but how long would it take to walk from here to the stadium?
I'm on it.
Oh, you're looking it up.
Well, we know it is exactly the career yardage of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is that correct?
That's exactly what I just read in Slack.
How long would it take Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw us there?
Jason,
probably
I'll figure
a
it
long
out.
Time.
Yeah.
Couple of things we want to...
Looks like we can walk there in 6 hours and 4 minutes.
Okay. That's a long walk.
Not bad.
That's a long walk. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. We have a quick question today. Looking at Super Bowl score predictions. What do you got?
Well, I've got the right answer.
Oh, gosh.
My Super Bowl score prediction is the game being won by the Philadelphia Eagles, 27-24, and a close one over the Chiefs.
Right. I can see some storylines here going both directions, obviously. You can't count Patrick Mahomes out of any game. I think outside of Mahomes and Kelsey, I think you stack every other position group and player up, Chiefs to Eagles. I like the Eagles a lot more personnel-wise, but, you know, your quarterback kind of matters. So I think I settled on Philadelphia winning this one 31-24.
What do I do here if in my playoff bracket I had the Chiefs winning?
Oh, you got to stick with the
but
call.
You don't believe it
but
anymore?
I'm not 100% sure.
Look, you can't do the thing where our show all picks Philly and then the Chiefs win and we just look stupid.
And okay. It was in your bracket and you didn't go with them.
All right. My bracket had Chiefs, Eagles.
Okay.
So
congrats.
I've got the two teams in there.
You get credit for that.
Thank you. And I had the Chiefs winning, so we'll stick with that. And let's go 30-27.
Okay.
30-27.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chiefs.
All right.
Lock of the century.
I hope it's a good one. I think it will be. We have a lot of these are the best two teams, I think, in the NFL. So we'll be excited to see what happens. Take it all in out here in Arizona. It should be fun. And I hope you have a great Sunday watching the game with friends and family.
And also
something else
on
Sunday?
Look, I mean, if you're hanging out on Sunday
waiting for the game to start. Maybe you've already set out some snacks. Nobody's come over yet. And you're just sitting there on the couch because there's a moment, right, where you're waiting. Maybe you check out the Ultimate Draft Kit.
I like everything you said except for when you're waiting for everyone to come over. I would personally recommend once everyone is there, everyone sits on the couch and sees who could order it the pre-order the fastest.
Oh, you're
like make a game
you're getting
out
a
of
group
it.
Together.
Yeah,
but you don't give up when one person game. Finishes. You need to
tell people about the like sit them down. I want to tell you about something.
I brought you here today for this
the
presentation.
The MLM experience.
And if you can, if you put together a slideshow or a whiteboard,
some
that'd
free
be great.
Tupperware.
Take some pictures, send it in. We'll proliferate your messaging.
Yeah.
But it is important that everyone you know get the Ultimate Draft Kit. Hopefully they're not in the same league with you. But you know, if you want to be brave, courageous, play against the best, you could do that.
So Super Bowl Sunday, you sit them down and you kind of explain the value of the UDK. You let them know, look, this is the lowest possible price. The pre-order starts on Sunday. $5 to shopballers.com, $10 to fantasychamps.com, free copy of our book, access to the UDK. You get the UDK Plus. You can get into the Dynasty Pass immediately, jam-packed with content.
Absolutely.
These are some of the things you would say in your presentation.
Yeah,
those are great slideshow moments.
And ultimatedraftkit.com. It's simple. Sunday is Super Bowl / ultimatedraftkit.com.
Look, what's it going to take for me to get you into a UDK Plus?
A brand new UDK Plus.
Just tell me.
Okay.
We'll go to the back room. We'll figure it out. We'll spend 45 minutes there. And
also, leave your keys here.
We have not tried the timeshare method of sales until this year. So, all right, let's get into some news.
News and notes from around the league.
We are slashing prices. We have more inventory than we've ever had. The boxes are piling up. We got to get them out of here.
I will say this. We are already almost sold out of Ultimate Draft Kits. So if you don't hurry up, if you don't get in, I mean, they might be gone.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, they're stuck in the harbor.
There's a data shortage.
Right.
A data shortage? All right. Derek Carr visited with the Saints on Wednesday.
Okay.
Had to get permission to do so from his team. They gave him permission. And the Saints.
That was real nice of them. The team that doesn't want him on the team anymore?
I thought that the storyline around this was that he was going to be permitted these visits on the basis that the team, being the Raiders, and the team he's visiting already agreed on compensation demands for Derek Carr. So I thought there was some discussion around, you know, teams needed to know what the Raiders wanted in exchange for Carr.
Yeah. I feel like the team needs to know if they want Derek Carr.
They don't.
Before they're willing.
But they already know.
No, they already said they don't.
They said they don't want him?
What do you mean? He's not playing quarterback for the
Raiders. No, I'm talking about the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they need to meet with Derek Carr and make sure it's a fit before you're like, yep, we'll give you a second-round pick. Like, let him talk to the guy.
I think it's more than a discussion, though. Like, if this is happening, the Saints have interest in Derek Carr. That was my kind of point, was some bridges had to be crossed before you get to this point, so I think that they are in contention for Derek Carr.
Yeah, gotcha. And Derek Carr has a no-trade clause, so he has to actually approve wherever his destination is. That's why he's interviewing the Saints as much as the Saints are interviewing him.
But I mean, let's just put him in a Saints uniform for a moment. You have one of the best up-and-coming young wide receiver talents in the game. Chris Olave is a New Orleans Saint. When you look at things that make you question some of these young receivers taking the next step, being a solid wide receiver one for the year, we're looking at quarterbacks. We're looking at New York and saying, oh, Garrett Wilson needs a quarterback and Olave needs a quarterback. And this would mean stability at the position.
Now, when Derek Carr shows up for the meeting, you know, and he's meeting with, you know, Dennis Allen, some other people, is Taysom Hill in that room?
I would hope not.
And
I mean,
like,
he's kind of in every room
at
all times.
But I'm saying, like, if you're going to go be the quarterback for the Saints, you have to know that your tight end is going to come in and take a bunch of your snaps.
We're not talking about the truth of tight ends yet, Mike. We'll get there.
No, I know. We're talking about the quarterback position for the Saints.
Taysom Hill's always available to help out in whatever you need, janitorial, offensive line.
I'm joking around here, just taking, you know, fun shots at Taysom Hill. But, like, really, if you're Derek Carr, and this is part of who the Saints are, they're giving Taysom Hill just a crap ton of money, and they have to figure out how to use him somehow, and all of his snaps were coming at the quarterback position. If Derek Carr is the level of quarterback that you have, do you keep subbing him off the field for Taysom Hill?
Less than you did last year, certainly. I think that all starts with the premise that the team whoopsied their contract to Taysom Hill. And at this point, it's all, how do we get value out of it, jamming him onto the field, as opposed to Taysom Hill's a super talented player was one of their best players on the team last year, and they just need to find a way to get him on the field.
Obviously a different head coach now, but they were taking Drew Brees off the field to put Taysom Hill in sometimes. So,
Your boy Sean Payton is doing that.
Derek Carr will
certainly loves Taysom Hill.
Sit on the
He's
side.
He's probably going to trade for him.
Well, Derek Carr could end up on the Saints. We'll see what other teams are interested. Brian Flores agreed to become the defensive coordinator of the Vikings.
Such a good hire.
It's surprising to people, but Brian Flores has actually never been a defensive coordinator. He was a myriad of positional coaches in the New England coaching staff, and then was with Pittsburgh last year. But Minnesota's defense was 30th in yards per play, 30th in points allowed. This is a great opportunity for him to take this defensive unit to the next level.
Yeah, and he was still in the running for the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job when he announced that he's taking this job. So there's been a lot of people this year that have said, no thank you, Arizona. We found out that our general manager that we announced, like, oh, this is who the guy we found. That was choice number two. Someone else said, no thank you.
Oh, you didn't let it be a little mute. Bling.
Can Matt Ishbia purchase the Cardinals as well?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, it just makes you wonder. Is it an ownership problem? Is it the Kyler apprehension? Is it everything and everything?
I wonder why.
It's nice to live out here. There's a reason the Super Bowl's out here every 5 years.
Yeah, no snow.
No snow. That's lots really, of golf courses.
Really,
there's a reason the old people, and I'm speaking of like Emmett Smith, J.J. Watt, they come out to finish on a two-year deal out here. A.J. Green, you come out here and you get paid for 2 years, and then you fade off into Sun City. So, all right, Zeke, expected to take a major pay cut to stay with the Cowboys.
And we did get a combo in news with that during that report as well, that Tony Pollard likely to be franchised. We've kind of talked about that. That seemed the most clear path forward for the Dallas Cowboys of what Tony Pollard has become to this offense. You can't just lose him to free agency. You have to at least put your best foot forward to try and get him back on the team. And look, agree or disagree with what the franchise tag can do to these players and their careers, but it's a power that the Dallas Cowboys have right now, and I don't find it surprising at all that that's a move that they would make.
We really talking about this Aaron Rodgers thing?
Now we are.
Why is this in the news?
Because he's descending.
We're letting people know that a decision is
coming. I'm not reading this.
Okay, a decision is coming from Aaron Rodgers.
Where?
Very soon, but he wants to just take a darkness retreat.
Come
first
on, man, it's fun.
And think about it in total deprivation of senses.
Multiple days, he said.
Four days. 4 days.
4 days in complete darkness.
I'll tell you, you want to know who's not afraid of the dark? Aaron Rodgers is not afraid of the dark.
Let me ask you this. Could you actually sustain 4 full days in pure darkness?
I do not believe I could make it 24 hours. Four hours. I do not believe I could make it 4 hours.
Let's drop the 20 off.
Yeah.
I mean, the psychological impact, you're going to see some things.
He says he hallucinates.
That are not. Oh, of course you are, because your brain, if you're in actual true darkness for that long, your brain's going to start trying to fill in the gaps.
How do they feed you? Where's my food?
It's hamster water wheel or a hamster
water
bottle.
Those bottles?
It's got the little ball that you just lick it.
Oh, nice.
Does he just
It's
like,
full of vitamins and things.
Does he just scroll through like Twitter or
no,
TikTok trends and then do the next one? One of his decisions.
Is that trending?
Well, I mean, you
darkness
got
retreats?
People jump into cold water. They do darkness retreats. He puts the stuff up the
bing bong.
I mean, just make a decision, man.
He's about to. The first decision is I'm going into total darkness.
Is this the kind of decision that, I mean, did you go through this process when you decided to come work for us, Brooksy? A full darkness retreat?
Did you need the 4 days?
Not quite 4 days.
Okay. Not quite four days.
Nah, just a couple.
I mean, this is what? So
where do you even do that? There's places that just
I know a guy.
They sell
I'm sure.
What do you mean they sell
a dark room? I mean, like,
I'm sure I could find a room for you.
If I asked you right now to be in the dark for 4 days, you couldn't figure that out?
I mean, I could figure out how to do it. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, dude, I
think it's wild. I mean, have you ever thought of doing one of the sensory deprivation tanks?
Sure. I mean, I've seen people talk about this stuff because everything. I don't know if you knew this. Everything on TikTok will cure you from cancer or whatever the case may be. I see the people that do 7-day water fast to get clarity. I see people do the cold water baths to get clarity. We're searching here.
I think it all comes down to that. We just want clarity.
Do you think in the darkness, somewhere over the course of day one to day four, he will contemplate the $50 million that he could receive by playing football?
After he converses with the heffalumps and woozles and the pink elephants from Dumbo, he's going to have a decision.
He did say that the idea he didn't want to retire with Brady and J.J. Watt because he wouldn't get all the stuff
you were talking about.
Right, the stuff that I was saying, the sensible stuff. He said, no, that's not an issue. He would love to retire with Brady and J.J. Watt.
He also, I don't know if you kept hearing the quote after that. He said, also, Jason Moore, eat it.
Yeah, I'm going to be the
and
reason
he
retires.
He did a crotch chop.
He'll be like, you don't think I'll retire? I'll retire right now. Yeah. Just give me 4 days.
And then I'll say, you're welcome, everybody.
I feel like we were a little hard on Aaron Rodgers during that last few
minutes. I'm trying to express that I think
he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah. The fact that anyone could really do that, that blows my mind.
He's got nothing.
Because there's no way.
He's got nothing else to do, man.
Even if you have nothing else to do, if you could make it 4 days of pure darkness.
If you were single, you wouldn't spend like a week in the dark just for fun?
That's when you get, immediately following the breakup, you spend some time in the dark. Really,
you've done that
you're
before.
You're really depressed. You're just in a closet.
That's a closet, Jason.
Yeah.
I've heard that story.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy expected to have surgery at the end of the month, and the plan is for a repair. So the initial team reports that he will be ready to go for training camp. Our injury expert, Matthew Betts, talking about this surgical procedure, the recovery timeline in full is about 6 months, can start throwing around 3 to 4 months. I mean, I think the headline here is because he's going the repair route, not a Tommy John surgery route, he's a viable candidate to start week one for the 49ers, which was not a guarantee until we knew which route he was taking. Still has to go through recovery, but we could be staring down the Brock Purdy and Trey Lance preseason. We don't know who the starter is yet.
Okay, so time to make our predictions again.
Oh, gosh.
Now that we know he's going to be available for camp.
No, I have not been in the camp that I think Purdy's the future there, so I will go Trey Lance again. I will stick with Trey Lance.
I'm going to go Purdy.
Mike is the one that we need to hear from. He needs some time in the dark room.
Yeah, I do. At least 2 days. Look, Trey Lance is going to be trying to high-five Brock Purdy all the time. That's all I'm saying.
You know how they do the every year because, the internet needs more content.
Yeah.
They do the we redraft the first round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over
yeah.
again. Did you did you catch that?
the silliest of exercises.
So it's like if you could just start the draft over again, who would take who, and some teams take the same players.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is Brock Purdy was taken fourth or something.
Overall?
In that draft. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It makes a lot of sense. You watched him play quality football and take a team deep in the playoffs.
So the fact that Purdy's going to be healthy, Jason, you just said you think he'll be the starter.
Yeah.
Does it change your Trey Lance dynasty viewpoint? Just that information?
The fact that he is not going to miss this year with a full 12-month recovery from a Tommy John surgery certainly lowers or at least it increases the risk of a Trey Lance share. So, yes, I certainly am more trepidatious over Trey Lance in Dynasty. It certainly he has the higher value. Brock Purdy, as the starter, is ho-hum. You could start him every now and then. He can obviously throw two touchdowns of 250 yards and be serviceable. But if I'm going to bet on someone for fantasy purposes, I'm still 100% on the Trey Lance side. I would take that bet over Purdy simply because if he is the starter, he can go out there and drop 30, 35 points because he can run for 75 rushing yards and a touchdown and then throw a touchdown with 200 passing yards. So certainly upside is there for Trey Lance.
I ask that because part of the UDK Plus that you know you get access to right away on Super Bowl Sunday is our Dynasty Startup Rankings. And I was staring down the quarterback position where Trey Lance is at.
Yeah.
And kind of trying to decide between, you know, players like him and Russell Wilson right now, who's another kind of like divisive dynasty player, because despite the fact we knew that we'd be here again, we're here again, and and people are buying in.
I still have Trey at 10.
10's very high.
I will hold up for dear life.
Okay. And you just answered Trey Lance, right?
I don't know what my answer is.
I don't know what I just said. All right.
Don't talk to me.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with the tight end truth. Any answers on Trey Lance, Mike?
I said don't talk to me.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, thank goodness that graphic is done for this year. the tight end truth episode. Here we are. We've talked about every other position of relevance for fantasy football. And we talked about the fact scoring has been down.
For other positions.
And that passing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, they were down overall. What's the truth about tight ends, though?
The truth about tight ends is that a league-wide, all tight ends in 2022, is that they were more involved than ever. Teams are throwing to the tight end position. If you look year by year on the league average tight end target share since 2018 it was 19.8%. Then 20.6, then 21, 21.1, and last season 21.3% of targets went to the tight end position, which meant that 16 different tight ends this season averaged 5 or more targets per game. That is the most in NFL history. And the truth in fantasy football for the tight end position is it sucks.
Well, I guess I was going to ask that about that must have meant that they're was a lot of fun and choosing which ones to start, and
it's a matter of perspective, man. you can be like, man, it sucks, or you can say it's really difficult, but when you get it right, it's very satisfying.
One of the kind of potential side effects of tight ends being involved more in these offenses is you saw some wide receiver twos that people were counting on in fantasy maybe not being as involved as we thought they'd be. Someone like Adam Thielen. You know, you saw T.J. Hockenson come in, have a huge impact. Deontay Johnson, the tough year, despite the targets, because, you know, Pat Freiermuth is involved in that offense. You know, Michael Gallup with Dalton Schultz, Allen Robinson with Tyler Higbee, Elijah Moore with, look, the Jets were kind of all over the place, but they did have, like, a lot of involvement from Conklin and later in the season, Uzama. So it is something to pay attention to if you're going to continue to see these mismatches exploited. We didn't even have, you know, a healthy Mark Andrews for the whole year. We didn't have a healthy Kyle Pitts for the whole year. And there were some other tight ends
goodness.
That flamed out.
That was an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
Well, no, from a target share perspective, he was still going to meet the expectation, not production.
Yeah.
So we looked at the truth of the tight end position, breaking it down like this. Great games, 15-plus points. Good games, 8-plus points. Bust games, fewer than 5.5.
Yeah, we've adjusted it.
Well, we actually
low
did.
Bar.
So we did adjust it, and we adjusted it not just obviously from other positions, but we adjusted this from previous years. Going through the truth data this season was rough. And you had to – I mean, usually a good game for a tight end over the last several years, the bar has been 10 fantasy points. Looking at this season, trying to compare, you know, grading on a curve and looking at how they did amongst themselves, I had to move that bar down to 8 points, which, you know, it doesn't feel good to get 8 points, but I was looking through the game logs and I'm like, okay, well, you know, you have a game from T.J. Hockenson here where he's got 8 targets. He's 6 for 77. Like, this season, 6 for 77 from tight end, you'd have to be like, that's a good game. I'm happy with that. You know, certainly that is a top 10 fantasy score of the week. So the bar was pretty low this year, and I think that really does show the fact that we had to move the target just shows how freaking bad playing.
How difficult.
Tight end.
How satisfying.
Sure. Oh, we're changing the language.
I'm just trying to put a positive spin here. Spin.
Here's the challenge that we have. We've been issued a challenge. Don't talk about Travis Kelce for more than a minute.
Okay.
Because we know the truth of Travis Kelce.
I think that the Travis Kelce discussion is and will be entirely, do we have another year of Travis Kelce? Because he dropped down, like he was in like the second, right? Am I remembering that right,
He
Kyle?
Was the second round, fourth pick of the second round, first tight end off the board still, but 33 years old.
And there was a genuine reason to be concerned of, like, can Travis Kelce be not just, like, yeah, he's going to be a good tight end, but can he be that difference maker where if you look at him comparatively to, like, a wide receiver, you're getting a top 10 wide receiver, but you're getting him at the tight end position. And it was I felt like, I don't know. I don't know that Travis Kelce will be that level of a difference maker. Big, massive L there, because he was. He was essentially the wide receiver 5, but as the tight end. So it's just, where are you going to take him? An underdog where people are drafting teams way too early, but it's kind of fun. And they're doing their best ball tournaments. He's going essentially at the 104. So the people who are investing early in fantasy football drafts are saying, screw this crap, Travis Kelce's going to repeat again.
I mean, it's a pretty easy, logical conclusion to make to keep drafting Travis Kelce. The offense for the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes throwing the football. They haven't had a running game in a while. They don't have any wide receivers that are the kind that demand targets. And so Travis Kelce, he never busted this year. He was 76% good games, 53% above the great market tight end, and literally never busted playing every single week. Like, you can't play a game where you put Travis Kelce on a football field with Patrick Mahomes and not end up with this outcome unless an injury happens or some sort of better-than-Tyreek Hill type of influence comes onto this offense. At least in my opinion, I can't be the one that just throws him away because I think he's getting too old.
Yeah, he is clearly an outlier human being. You know, we've seen that with Derrick Henry and with other absolute superstar physical freaks of nature, of which he is. We see that with his two-year older brother who's in the Super Bowl as well. You know, this is someone you've got to continue to bet on, and I think you laid it out very well. You know the Chiefs are going to throw the ball. Who are they throwing it to, if not Kelce? Who? Answer me that.
Did you just try and spin?
Oh, no, let him have it.
No, I will not. I will not.
It was professional.
You tried to spin the mucus sandwich into a dramatic moment of tears?
I did not try. My guy succeeded.
Oh, he succeeded.
How dare you? The people were with me. They were in tears. I was about to get my Oscar.
I loved it, and I was going to let you have it.
Thank you.
Here's a couple things that I want to bring up.
Never.
Travis Kelce, 33 years old. Antonio Gates during his year 34 season, 12 touchdowns, 821 yards, near a career high in receptions.
Sure, 820 yards is not going to get it done. Like, if you draft him.
It's not about him putting up numbers that Kelce puts up. It's about him putting up numbers that are consistent with his career. And he wasn't
fair.
A 1,200, 1,300-yard guy. He was just a touchdown and 800-yard guy. You know, he had a very good year in his year 34 season. He had 7 touchdowns and 600 yards in year 36. So that's my way of saying I think Kelce's got at least one more leading the parade season in him, and then probably two more, if he's around, contract and all that, being relevant for fantasy seasons. If he wants to play football, that's the other question.
Do you remember when we thought Gronk was the most dominant tight end ever? I'm looking at this career log from Kelce. He's the tight end 1. Last year he was the tight end 2.
Yeah.
Then 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. He's going to go pretty much a decade being the wide receiver 1. So just draft him as that. And if you knew for sure, and we don't, obviously, but if we knew for sure that he was going to do next year what he did this year, then he is absolutely worth the 104.
TJ Hockenson was the tight end 2
And that's all you need to hear to know how the rest of tight ends were.
Now, Kelsey was the number one in consistency, of course, first half, second half. Hockenson was three in consistency, fifth in the first half, fourth in the second. But it was a good run for TJ Hockenson. He was very necessary for this team. 914 yards, six touchdowns. That is a massive gap.
What week was he traded?
Was it 10?
It was after week 8.
Okay, after week 8. So he went 7, 10, 14, 6. I mean, yeah, you're right, Jason. That's all you need to say. Travis Kelce was just so far and away better than even TJ Hockenson at number 2. 53% great games, 24% bust, 12% great.
Travis Kelce scored 206 fantasy points, half PPR. George Kittle was the next highest total fantasy points at 140. TJ Hockenson had 129 is what I'm seeing.
For total
fantasy points. I'm just saying the gap.
Where are you seeing this?
I'm on this. Oh, this is standard scoring. It's still true data.
You're falling apart.
It's still true data. So
TJ Hockenson had 172 fantasy points.
And Kelce was 261 in half point. I mean, almost 100 more points. I'm saying the gap between him and everyone else is
the interesting thing for me to look at for TJ Hockenson is after he got traded, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take out week 18 when he played 46% of the snaps. It was like they didn't need him. Like it was they had everything was kind of locked up, so they didn't play him for a full game. But weeks 9 through 17, that's 9 games, his pace would have been 160 targets, 111 receptions, 950 yards, and about 6 touchdowns. So if those are the types of numbers that he is going to give you, then TJ Hockenson, where does TJ Hockenson get drafted?
Behind Andrews, assuming Lamar's back, probably behind Kittle with the way he finished the season, because Kittle's potential, we've seen it. He broke the NFL receiving record at tight end for a minute. Actually, it was Kelce that broke it for a minute and Kittle took it, right?
I think it was the opposite. Okay. Kittle broke it for a minute. Kelce got it. But he'll be right there with Kittle. I think it'll be some leagues, Hockenson,
Kittle.
Fourth
round?
Yeah, that seems about right.
That's where the tight end 4 went last year, and that was Kittle last year. So Hockenson this year, on into the future, the investment they made, he had a couple of those monster performances, 8 for 179, 13 for 109. Couple touchdowns in each of them.
Just saying, like, if the
much better against bad defenses.
If the Vikings move forward with what could happen of Adam Thielen is a cap casualty for this season and he's no longer on the team, and maybe they make a splash in the draft and they bring in another big name wide receiver. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's Jefferson and KJ Osborne. TJ Hockenson is going to be very interesting.
Does his success, Jason, give you any sort of satisfaction?
It does a little bit, because I was a TJ Hockenson truther. I loved his college
film.
Was
he ever a my guy? He wasn't, right?
I don't think so, no.
He was definitely on the board leading into
it. He's been on the board that didn't make the cut, I think. But, I've always thought he's a good player. The issue is he has shown us over and over and over again that he's just not consistent enough to really get it done. I do agree with Mike, though. If he goes in next season as the number two target for a good offense, you've got to bump him up a little bit, and he might be worth that fourth round pick.
Yeah, he still lacks the long-term go-to factor where, like, Kelsey's number one target, and I think Andrews is too, right? Like those two guys are the primary targets on the team. I think you can win a game without Hockenson because you have a Justin Jefferson or the running game, but he's in that upper echelon now. Kittle comes in at 3 because his consistency rank was 5. He was drafted as the tight end 4. I think it was a really tough year to evaluate George Kittle because you had multiple changes at quarterback, you had injury, and, in the games he played, 53% good, 33% great. We know what Kittle's capable of, but I don't know if people that drafted him in the fourth round really felt like they got, like they used that pick to their advantage.
I would say no. I mean, because the fact that you missed the first 2 weeks with, what was it, the groin injury? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that what he was?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a groin. And then you followed up. You're very excited. You get your George Kittle back. Like, That's it. Lock him into my tight end spot, and you got tight end 23, 37, and 22. So now you are 5 weeks into the season, and you are likely panicking, or you have already panicked and tried to move on, so you didn't get the good run. I was like, overall, Kittle had a fantastic year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to miss the first 2 weeks, everything that happened to him, and still finished 60 receptions, 765, and 11 touchdowns, and several weeks as a difference maker for fantasy football. It was a great season, but because of how the start happened, if you're looking at just draft pick, I think you probably felt extremely burned.
He goes into the same category we talked about on the truth of wide receivers of the San Francisco 49ers receivers. There's not a huge passing volume there, and there are great targets. If you look at, he had a ton of really, really bad games this year, and he had a lot of really, really good games. But if you look at the four games that Deebo Samuel missed.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now, too.
He's the tight end 5. He's the tight end 12. He's the tight end 1. He's the tight end 2. He was awesome in those four games. And that's been the story of the last several years. In games where Brandon Ayuk is out, the games where Deebo Samuel is out, they're like, oh, Kittle, you're up. And he's awesome. But in games where all three guys are available, it's not that he can't do it. It's just that he doesn't need to do it. And
they added Christian McCaffrey now. So yeah. You add another weapon to the passing game. Shanahan will pull a different weapon out to beat you every game. And because of that, he's still on a different level to me than Andrews and Kelsey.
Yeah, I mean, when McCaffrey got there, you look at week 10, 11, 12, 13, three-fourths of those games were terrible with McCaffrey. And then that's when Deebo goes down and Kittle's back. So I'll be a little bit worried to draft Kittle next year.
I was going to say, Kittle versus Hawkinson will be a discussion.
Yeah,
for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, you've got probably higher highs with George Kittle, but a higher baseline with Hawkinson.
Andrews came in at 4.
Early my guy.
Weird year.
For next
Mark
year?
Andrews?
Oh, I am all in on Mark Andrews next year.
He was drafted as the tight end,
too. You don't even know who the quarterback is.
I mean, this is obviously presuming Lamar Jackson.
You don't get to obviously presume nothing.
You're opening up a whole new world of this my guy crap.
Okay.
We ain't never done this.
You go put him on the board.
Look, the only reason I say this is because I was at dinner last night.
Early credit.
No, that's fine. I'll go put him on the board. I was at dinner last night. We were talking through some tight ends, and I talked about how much I'm in love with.
What breaking news? You like Mark Andrews?
The value
pretty good.
That I think Mark Andrews will have next season.
Well,
because
he's going to get drafted high.
But I don't think he will get drafted as high as he got drafted this season.
Right, higher.
No.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kelsey will be the number one tight end drafted. For sure, without a question of a doubt. Now, Andrews will be the number two tight end, but I could see him being at the 2-3 turn because of how much he sucked at the end of last year.
That's where he got drafted.
And he was worth it. Look at the beginning of the season.
He was drafted at 301.
The first 6 weeks of this season, he was better than Kelsey. He was unbelievable. He got injured, then Lamar got injured, and then there was the season was over for him, and he sucked the rest of the way.
It is hard though to not know. I mean, we're gonna get some wideout. That whole room is gonna get some new names.
Yes.
So maybe you're right. Maybe he will be a value because there will be anticipation about Bateman's health, a new couple of wide receivers, maybe a free agent and a rookie. There will be some hype around that situation for sure, and maybe that will make him a value if you believe the team will still function directly through Mark Andrews, which...
There's a new offensive coordinator coming in.
There will be questions, so that may push him down a little bit, and then, he might be your my guy. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying, is I think there will be enough questions to where people are not universally all in. People are going to be universally all in on Travis Kelce. They're going to have questions and worries about Andrews because they're going to bring someone in. Remember, he was the tight end 1 when Hollywood Brown was there. So it's not like another wide receiver there is going to stop him from being able to be valuable.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's fair. He was consistency rank of 7. It hurt really bad not to have Lamar. I mean, weeks 11 through 17 were all like Groundhog Day. It was like, oh, this will be the week that Mark Andrews does his thing. He didn't.
Never saw that shadow.
No, and I don't expect that Kelsey's week 11 through 17 would have been Kelsey-esque if it was Chad Henne.
Lamar was there 11 and 12.
Yeah, and he was fine, 7 and 11. So, look, it all makes sense. The offense needs to get fixed. New offensive coordinator could deprioritize things. There will be more questions there around Mark Andrews. And, I don't know if my confidence level is at the call it in February level.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I get it. But if you look at the truth of tight ends, right, that's what we're trying to discuss here this year, is like the truth of tight ends is one sentence. If you didn't draft Travis Kelce, you had tight end problems. If you drafted Travis Kelce, you absolutely crushed the tight end position. And so next year, I think there's two guys, not just one, but I think there's two where you have to have them. Like, everyone should draft those guys. I'm fully in on getting Kelce or Andrews next year. Wow. That's going to be part of my strategy next
year.
Mike,
if you had a win now team in Dynasty, like next year's your year.
Okay.
Are you moving Mark Andrews for Travis Kelce?
In a Dynasty squad, yep. I have Mark Andrews.
Yeah, because it's another way of saying, do you agree with Jason that Andrews will be enough of a difference maker next year to make you not do that? Because the gap between Kelce and Andrews this year, in the end, could have won you a league or lost you a league.
In the end, I was pushing back against Jason because I think that overall Mark Andrews will be forgiven by the fantasy football community for the end of the year of, you didn't have Lamar Jackson. You had no Lamar. You had no other wide. Like, wasn't Sammy Watkins on this team at some point? Like, they had nobody. And you had Pro Bowl quarterback Snoop throwing the ball to Mark Andrews. So maybe that factors into people's decisions of where they draft Mark Andrews. But I think it's you wash it out. You remember that the beginning of the year, he was truly dominating.
The only thing I'll say, and I'll
so
just,
no, I wouldn't, I would not trade Andrews for Kelce.
I'll put this out there because we're a show that puts things out there.
Well,
he's had one, unlike Kelce, who has been, you read the resume, right? 1-2-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unlike Kelce, he's had one outlier year with the 145 targets, over 100 receptions. The rest of his career has been, you know, lower reception totals, where Kelce's at this massive height. So there is like a world where that was just a year like Andrews needed everything. Like, I think you could paint that picture if they brought in two wide receiver names. We're like, okay, we're never seeing 145 targets again. He had 154.
We have 5 seasons of Mark Andrews. He has surpassed 900 yards one time. I'm on team Mark Andrews, but like
you do have years like that. I mean, there are tight ends that go out and have one monster year. I mean, Kittle's kind of one of them, right? Like, Kittle had one monster year that made him worthy of maybe being the one.
Yeah,
and then it changed.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously you can also say, you know, since his rookie year, he's been a top 5 tight end every year, including this year, where he completely sucked. He was the tight end 4 the second half of the season. But, you know, before that knee injury, you talk about the season he got off to on the back of last season's dominating performance. And before that injury, he was on pace for 161 targets again, 1,300 yards, and 14 touchdowns. So he was trending to repeat last year's great performance. But you're right, he didn't, because of whatever situation, and he only has last year as the true alpha domination.
Taysom Hill, Mike, I don't know why it took us so long to get to him. Number 5 at tight end. Taysom Hill, the tight end of the Saints.
Yep.
One of the best tight ends in football is tight end Taysom Hill.
Known for his pass-catching ability.
Yes. Yes, what, he caught 69% of his targets.
That is pretty good.
That for a catch rate, that's very nice.
Yes. Now, the target totals, they were way up there, right? The 154?
Did not surpass. He didn't surpass 50 receptions.
Or 40.
Nor 40, nor 30, nor 20, nor 10. He had 9 receptions.
9 receptions.
Tight end for 5.
Tight end Taysom Hill. Undrafted by everybody but Papa Josh. Consistency rank of 9. I mean, this is, I think Mike's issues all stem from, this is not a traditional tight end. He gets categorized as a tight end.
Traditional. He doesn't play the tight end position.
He does. Ish.
Poquito.
Yeah. But he doesn't play it in a way where his fantasy production comes from those snaps. It comes from taking snaps in the running game, throwing the football down the field. How many total pass attempts did he have this year?
19.
Isn't that the same amount of total targets he had? Or was
13.
That
13 targets.
All right.
He had,
now, isn't it impressive that he finished at tight end 10 if he passed the ball 19 times and caught the ball 9 times?
Tight end 5?
What did I say? Tight end 10?
Yeah. So put him at running back.
Okay. So regardless,
should he be a running back?
Yes, he should be a running back. He has 96 rushing attempts and 13 targets.
Wouldn't you just be complaining about the fact he gets to throw the ball four times a game, too?
No. I would say go ahead, draft him.
Yeah, I guess you'd wash it out. He provided an advantage at this position. If you can finish at five by not being a tight end, maybe you're right.
He had games where he helped win you a week, and then he had games where he cost you the entire week.
If he's a tight end next year, he's still going to be involved in these offenses, and you're still going to have the wild card that is Taysom Hill.
I agree.
That's the truth.
And I don't think I'm going to be very turned away by Derek Carr. If Derek Carr comes, I don't believe that he's going to take Taysom Hill off the field. You know, week one, they started with Jameis, and Taysom Hill was the tight end three on the week.
Does he score? Yeah. Does he make the one big throw? Evan Ingram comes in at six.
He's interesting.
He had a consistency rank of 11. First half, it was 11. In the second half, he was tied for sixth in consistency. 47% good, 47% bust. Evan Ingram had a nice little run between weeks 13 through 16. That's really the story of the year for Evan Ingram. He was the tight end two from week 13 on. So the playoff, the imprint of Evan Ingram on your playoff run was significant. That was the first time in his career during that run that he hit double-digit fantasy points in four consecutive games. He certainly wasn't necessary for this team to have success throughout the course of the year, but he did impress in those games.
And to be fair, you know, I say it's interesting because he's got a great athletic profile. He's got an up-and-coming offense, an up-and-coming quarterback. And
assume he's re-signed.
Right. He's a free agent, but I believe he'll be re-signed. I think he wants to be back. I think they want to have him back. They have the money to do it, and he earned a role. So assuming that he is back with Jacksonville, then he's interesting in that way, but there are a lot of mouths to feed there. And when you're looking at reliability, he won't have reliability. We're past the tight ends with reliability. This is just tight ends with talent who can operate.
Hit a spike week.
Yeah, hit a spike week because you're going to have Calvin Ridley. Yeah, there's most that can't. So with Calvin Ridley added to this receiving core, Evan Ingram will be up and down and you at least we saw his ups.
It reminds me a little bit of what Jared Cook was like for fantasy for a few years because the athleticism for Jared Cook was
like
there.
Like pre-Raiders?
Yeah, or I mean, even when he was with Green Bay, you know, you had a spike week here and there from Jared Cook, and I think Evan Ingram's physical profile allows that to happen. We saw it. He had a monster week 14. Without it, he's nowhere near this finish. He's kind of had that. He had the mix-in week of sorts for the tight end position.
That was the crazy. Was that the bad weather game?
35 fantasy points in week 14.
No, the bad weather was his second big.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Evan Ingram gets his due because this is a short list of players that do.
Because this is a list of players that don't.
Cole Kmet at 7. Pat Freiermuth at 8. Kmet was 19th in consistency. It was a tiny, tiny spurt of success for Kmet in weeks 8 through 10 that were touchdown dependent. He had 7 touchdowns this year, just 50 catches.
Second half, he was tied for 6th.
Inconsistency.
Inconsistency. Yes. And what was the week?
When you cut, out of curiosity, because we give first and second half, are you cutting the season at the 8-week mark or the 9-week mark?
The truth is it is cut after the 9-week mark. So really? The first half is 9 weeks and the second half is from week 10 on.
Interesting. Yeah. I think I'd cut it the other way.
Well, we
just
didn't.
Throwing it out there. Yeah. Just because week 17 doesn't matter to people.
What I will say, you need to...
We're going to have to redo all these shows with a new cut.
For sure.
Is take a look at... So it was week 6 is when we got our first glimpse of Justin Fields, you know, starting to make some waves for fantasy. That was his first top 12 finish. He was the quarterback 8 against the Washington Commanders. So to me, and just watching the Chicago Bears offense, the first 5 weeks or so, I just throw them out of the sample of like, this is what the team could be and could become. So that wasn't the breakout day for Cole Kmet. It took a couple weeks after that. But saying once the offense switched, that's when Cole Kmet started to get more and more involved. I'm certainly not saying I'm banging the drum here for Cole Kmet. Like, he's going to be the sleeper tight end of 2023. But I think it's fair to look at the Bears offense from that point because it was so different.
I just am not that into the future of Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I can't paint the picture in my head of the scenario where he becomes something that you're looking forward to in fantasy. He was busting at 60% this year. He's a super talented guy. They had no wide receivers, yeah, and he still didn't do it.
That was with Mooney gone. They're going to add someone in the offseason.
And they don't throw the ball as much.
Exactly. It's going to be still a small passing pie and more people to – the interesting name to me is Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, I'm much more interested in Freiermuth.
Freiermuth was actually pretty darn good. He was the first half of the season, which obviously is the first 9 weeks. He was tied for sixth in consistency. And then, remember, at the very end of the year, he got injured. That was really frustrating. Mike, you lived that experience with Freiermuth,
yeah,
where he got injured. He
the
played
truth about the Muth.
He did not miss games, but he was, you know, down at 56% of snaps, 55% of snaps. That's not how he was on the season. You know, he started the season 89, 81, 76, 73% of the snaps, and then he was hobbled and playing through stuff and had some bad games at the end of the season. So he was better this season than his, you know, per game season in total was, and now he has a rookie quarterback who is going to be better next year. I don't think that he's going to be a superstar, but he's certainly not going to be a rookie in his second
year.
Well,
he won't be a rookie. Technically, you will. Yeah,
I am 100% correct.
He will be his sophomore season. I'm not sure it's going to get better.
I'm pretty confident that with a well-run organization, you know, Tomlin, this was a team that won a lot of games down the stretch with a full off season coming into his sophomore year.
It's not his sophomore year, just to be clear.
It's not?
No.
Who are you
talking about?
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett. I was like, what? Did I delete
Kenny
a
Pickett
year
was
of
drafted in 1987?
I can't talk about players this deep in the
He's
tight end.
40 list. Years
I
old.
I was still. I was. My brain was
got 17 Pro Bowls.
Bill Brasky. Yeah. I was still processing Justin Fields. In my head, you were saying Justin Fields was in his sophomore year, and I thought you were saying that because his first year was kind of Nagy thrown out, and then I apologize.
Yeah, that's all right. Apology accepted. But my point is, I don't think he's going to be great. I do think.
Can I tell you about Terry McLaurin?
I do.
That's Antonio Gibson.
That's right.
I do think that Kenny Pickett is going to be a better quarterback next year, and that the offense is going to be better next year than it was this year, and that's going to help Freiermuth a little bit.
Let me put a bow on this episode before things go sideways. Further, Dalton Schultz, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Darren Waller, Greg Dulcich. Those are the next names on the list. Dalton Schultz was drafted as the tight end 6, did not deliver on that draft capital at all. His consistency was 16, finished at 10 at the position, dealt with a couple of injuries, had some spikes over the back half of the year that put him at 8th in consistency. But again, you draft him in the 6th round, you need to know you can lock that guy in every week. I don't think, you know, you can make, obviously he didn't have Dak for the beginning of the year, and that's going to disrupt things. But it was disappointing for fantasy players,
sure,
regardless of how that shook out.
I think should Dalton Schultz. Well, Jason's
pretty
happy about that.
Just because you won a title with him on your roster.
He was the number one tight end in championship
week. Does
not
mean that he had a good season.
Over the second half, it was much better. But Dalton Schultz, the whole conversation is, where is he? He was playing on the franchise tag. If they're going to franchise Tony Pollard, maybe they get Zeke's money down to a place where they can actually bring Dalton Schultz back in, but that's going to be a big thing to move. So let's ask a dynasty question, Jason. Let's say you have Dalton Schultz on your roster. Are you keeping or are you trying to trade, believing that, like, because this could be an Austin Hooper situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dalton Schultz will be offered money. Like, he will be offered a good starting job and a good amount of money. And Austin Hooper, you could see his production for fantasy was completely a product of him being with Matt Ryan in that offensive system. And when he moved, it was like, oh man, I do not care for Austin Hooper. I think it was the Cleveland Browns. It's like, if Dalton Schultz goes to a situation like that, his value could completely smoke bomb and vanish.
I completely agree with you. What I'm doing with Dalton Schultz, if I have him, is I'm holding on to him until he signs. Because if he signs a big money contract with a team that needs a pass-catching tight end, I think his value goes up to most people. They say, oh, he's got 4 years and a bunch of money, and I am trading the heck out of him wherever he signs, no matter where he goes. He goes to Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is back, and people are saying the opportunity is great. I will trade him. If he re-signs it with Dallas, I'm going to hold on to him because I do think that he is a valuable enough tight end amongst the mucky muck.
Yeah, I mean, 57 for 577 and 5 last year for Schultz. Goddard?
Oh, he's a dude.
Goddard put up better numbers in half the games. I mean, this was the number two most consistent tight end when he played. The problem was missing weeks 11 through 15. But 58% good games when he played, only one bust.
I'll take Dallas Goedert over George Kittle next year. I think he is a better all-around player in a higher scoring offense.
It was a very impressive run. You didn't really have too many games where he was the dominant force. He just was consistent. And so, you know, you could definitely score more touchdowns than three in the games that he played. How many total? 12 games? So, you know, you could see that go up for sure. And I think Goddard is, I'd probably have him behind Kittle, but those two are neck and neck.
So right now, just referencing Underdog, because that's the only real drafts going on right now, Goddard currently the tight end six. So he would be behind George Kittle.
Yeah.
And in two ADP spots behind the forever, Kyle Pitts, forever hopeful. Oh my goodness.
Oh man,
we're not talking about him today, are we?
No, he didn't. He didn't finish inside the top ten.
Just missed it.
Kyle Pitts.
But it could work for us this time.
Kyle Pitts was on a sweet 100-target pace, gentlemen.
100-target pace. Yeah. That is awesome. How many yards would that turn into?
Hundreds.
600.
600, okay. Which would have been more than Dalton Schultz.
Well, if you pace out. Dalton Schultz missed games as well? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. We don't do stuff like that. We don't do complicated math with Pitts. We do simple math with Pitts.
Yeah, I love that. If I can get Dalton Schultz as my at tight end six next year,
Goddard,
he's
definitely Dallas,
Dallas Goedert. He's my guy next year.
Three tight end my guys.
Yeah, it's never been done.
The important thing is that if you claim them now, they're yours no matter what happens.
Right. Yes. So, no, thank you.
Which always works out. We're going to stop talking now. I think we're done.
Let's get out of here.
Final couple of things. One, enjoy the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Have a blast. Looking forward to the end of the season. Should be a great matchup. Number two, ultimatedraftkid.com on Sunday. The pre-order goes live for the UDK and the UDK Plus. If you like Dynasty, DFS, preparing for your draft, this is the time to jump in because I didn't even mention it at the top because I'm a lunatic. And then we were talking about other stuff. We got into the MLM pitch.
Yeah.
We're giving away a listener league spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you get the UDK between now and March 1st, or between Sunday and March 1st, you'll be entered to win a listener league spot to come play with us along with all the other perks. So please head over there Sunday morning when you're walking around the house because you've done everything that you need to do. Mm-hmm. And or, you know, obviously put on a presentation for your extended family.
And
ultimatedraftkit.com.
When you're doing that presentation, if you get photographs of all the people you have, you know,
changed lives
in getting the Ultimate Draft Kit, you get their spot in that listener league. So if you convince them to do it, you're in. You're in, baby. It's like Willy Wonka. You want multiple shots to get this golden ticket, people.
Good. All right. There you go. Enjoy the game. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.